find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you're in the pew. Pick it up and open it with me at the first chapter of the book of Genesis. The first chapter in all the Bible. We're going to read from verse 1 of this chapter 1 of Genesis, and we're reading down to verse 8. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God will bless his holy word to our hearts. Open your Bible, please, to the first chapter of Genesis. I want this morning to continue my messages on the first 7 days of creation. We have dealt with the first day, and we found out what the gospel message was of the first day. We now come to the gospel of the second day. There was a difference, a great difference between the first day and the second day. Because the first day was a day when God made the light. You can't work except there is light. And God was going to do his great work in creation. And all was in darkness. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the first day began in the evening. Had to begin in an evening because there was no light at that time. And then God made the light, and the first day ended in the morning. And so do all the days of God. You study the scriptures, you'll find that God's days start with the night and finish in the morning. Man's days start with the light and they finish in the night. There's a great difference between the days of man and the days of God. Now, the second day did not have a light of dawning of its own, for its light of dawning was the morning of the first day. Please note that carefully. So the peculiarity about the first day was, it was the beginning of all days. and it set off and up the course in which the Lord created this universe in which we dwell. The first day witnessed the creation of light, and that coming of light did not end, for the first day began with an evening and concluded with a morning. The second day had its beginning in the ending morning of the first day. The second day commenced with God's second work in creation. Could I just say to you, when you're studying the Bible, the day in Scripture, when it is mentioned with a number, that is, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, etc., always means a day of 24 hours. I heard a preacher once say that God had days that were years. Let me say to you, God is very careful in the use of his language, and in the use of this language of a day. The day is never in Scripture used for a year. Sometimes, however, a corresponding number of days are used for a corresponding number of years. But in every case, the Scripture states that it is so used. But the day is still a day, and the year is still a year. The Bible never anywhere states that a day means a year, but it does state that after the number of the 40 days in which Israel's spies searched the promised land, that the punishment for their unbelief would be that for 40 years they would wander in the wilderness. So remember, the day means 24 hours. And these days in the book of Genesis are 24 hours days. How do I know? Because the fourth commandment would be meaningless if they weren't ordinary 24-hour days. God made the heaven and the earth, and we read he rested on the seventh day. So those were days, and we're told to keep the day, the Sabbath day. So the day is a day of 24 hours, and it's clearly set out in the catechism as such. Now, this particular portion of Scripture that I'm dealing with now, the second day, the lines are drawn very, very strongly as we go down the creation story. Vivid, strong lines of demarcation. First of all, we read in Genesis 1 and 2, we read of the face of the waters in the first day. Now in the second day, we read of the waters again. But the first mention which God made of the waters was in the movement of the Holy Spirit upon their face. Now in Genesis 1 verse 6, we read not of the face of the waters, but the midst of the waters. Here we come to the curtailment of the waters and their control. As the light divided from the darkness in the first day, so in the second day the firmament divides the waters beneath from the waters above. And would you please look carefully at that text, and you will see what it says. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And then in verse 9, he said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. The waters beneath were the agency of the second day, not the waters above. What is this firmament? This firmament is what you see in the great expanse of the heavens when you look up into the heavens. And you see the archway of the atmosphere and the archway of the expanse of the heavenly world. Notice what it says, that in verse 7, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Notice the divine order very carefully set out. The waters above are not spoken of again in the scriptures, but the waters beneath are spoken of. The Spirit moved a second time upon the waters beneath. Notice also that this firmament was named by God himself. No one else named it. What does it say? It says here that God called the firmament heaven. God called the firmament heaven. God called it in verse 8. It wasn't named by man, it was named by God. In fact, in my last sermon, I reminded you that there are only five things in the whole of chapter 1 of Genesis that God put a name on. He put a name on the day. He put a name on the darkness. He put a name on the firmament. He put a name on the dry land. And he put a name on the seas. And that's all. Of all the creation, God did not name anything but those five things. Go home sometime and take down your Bible and ask yourself the question, why these five things? And as you consider that, you will realize that there are things that God names because man would be totally incapable of naming them. Yet when we come over in Genesis a little farther, God got man to name all the beasts of the field. So every animal in the world was named, not by God, but by Adam. There are certain gentlemen who think that they have more brains between their ears that they can really manage. They tell us, of course, the Bible is all wrong and it's not truthful and so on, and they go on and on and on, and then they tell us that there was, when God made Adam, whoever made him, if he came from the frog with its tail tucked in and developed in the Darwin theory, yet, isn't it interesting? Adam was such a very clever person that he named all the beasts of the field. A And the name that you call on a beast of the field, Adam gave it that name. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep in the sea and rides upon the storm. Just think of it. Heaven was in the place of government of the day and the night, and of the earth and of the seas. For as the heaven became the latter region of the sun, moon, and stars, and the evening and the morning, so heaven is all important. And I would ask you to make a note of Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6, and read it carefully when you go home. Heaven provides the light for the day so that we might be guided. We can only walk when we're in the light. The light originates from the firmament. Yes, and the same heaven with its sun, moon, and stars gives us our navigation, and it gives us the way in the seas. Because if we hadn't stars, or the sun and moon, are them who have to navigate the seas, couldn't do it. So this is the overall control that God gave through light. As I was preparing this message, I was reading some scientific facts about the atmosphere, and I must plead, of course, my complete ignorance of this, and probably you'll have to plead your complete ignorance of it as well. But H.W. Morris, D.D., who was a scientist and a man of great skill in science, he says, we would all need to remember that this world of ours is governed by the weight of nitrogen, oxygen, and if those two matters were not right, this world couldn't abide for 1 minute. If there was a rapid change in nitrogen, this whole world would burn up. The two, nitrogen and oxygen, are the things that are all important. And then he went on to say, we don't think, as we're walking through air, we don't think of the pressures that are upon us. But the amazing thing is that the pressures on us because of the atmosphere are terrific and absolutely surprising. Every square inch puts a pressure on our bodies of 3/5 pounds. Every square foot puts a pressure on our body of 2,100 pounds. But listen to this one. Every pressure on us in a square mile puts 58 million pounds of pressure on the human body. Now you say to me, as I said when I read those facts, how can we live? But God, who has done all things well, arranged the balances so that in the whole of the working of this planet of ours, all the balances are kept right so that one outbalances the other and we feel no pressure at all. Of course, you take a human being and put him into space. What happens to him? The pressures are gone. And he floats because there's no pressure to keep him when he's out in space. But down here on earth, we are kept. The atmosphere controls everything. If there wasn't the atmosphere, I could preach as loud as I can and you wouldn't hear a word. Sound comes through the atmosphere. Everything is controlled by this firmament of the second day. And as you read it and study this, you find the wonder of it all. We always need to remember that the whole creation was made in the light. The light came first, and it was God's light. If it had been man's light, it wouldn't have known the wonder of the universe. But it was God's light that designed and wrought the entire universe. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote by revelation and dictation, in Christ all things consist. The word there in the Greek text is consistency, which binds the world together. And that consistency we read about giving thanks, Colossians 1 verse 12, unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let us never forget, as we come to look at the second day of creation, that the firmament, the expanse of the heaven, the atmosphere, is the thing that supplies to us our life and provides for us the ability to face the pressures that are on this world so mysteriously created by the great Creator himself. I just want to say one last thing, for our time has fled away. I want you to go home today and read those few verses of the second day. And let me give you a hint. The cross of Christ is typified in that firmament, the cross of Christ. And my next message will be on that the second day, the message of the second day was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I've looked at that, I don't see the cross there. Well, you need to ask the Lord to illuminate your eyes so that you'll see the mysteries of that text. What a book the Bible is. What a great Creator is God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We tremble as we think of His majesty. We tremble when we think of His awesome power. We tremble when we think of His great creation. But we tremble more when we think of His love for sinners and of the giving of His Son to be the Savior of the world. May God help us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. This mysterious word of the living God. And we pray, our God and Father, that we will honor Thee with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God, and God shall direct our paths. O God, I pray now that Thou would give us eyes to see the truth of Thy word and the mystery of Thy revelation for our salvation. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.